Okay, I want to open our scriptures to the book of 1 Samuel. Again, we're looking at the life of, or the, rather the heart of David. That's what we're looking at, is the heart of David. And there's so many principles in what we'll be looking at right now. I won't be able to really get to the Psalms where we really see the heart of David. We've talked about this so many times that the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and Chronicles, they talk about the history of David. They talk about what's going on outside of David, around David. But the book of Psalms tells us what's going on the inside of David. And that's what God really is interested in, is what's going on the inside of us, right? He does things with us and for us that raises up a heart of David within us. He said, I gave him Saul, but I raised up David. And that's the difference. In our hearts, in our lives, David is being, or should be, raised up, which is a heart for God, a heart that loves God with all of its might. It's a heart that's set upon the things of God and will do all of His will. Now, are you with me? Okay, I want you to stand up one more time. We're going to bind principalities and powers. Okay? I'm tired of getting up here and warring. Right? You don't realize what I've gone through the last couple of weeks trying to get up here and teach God's Word. It's been a war. I'm tired of warring. I want you to help me bind principalities and powers so that I can proclaim this Word. All right? Agree with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, right now we come against principalities and powers that want to hinder the Word of God. Lord, I want to bind right now every power and every authority and every prince that's in this area, in this room, every spirit that's in this room that wants to hinder the Word of the Lord. We allow the Word of the Lord to come forth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for an anointing that would only speak the truth. That will only speak the truth. Lord, I pray that what comes out of me is light and not darkness. What comes out of me is truth and not confusion. What comes out of me, Lord, will give life and not death. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And you're in agreement with me, and we all say, amen, so be it. Be seated. Thank you. Amen. About four quick principles that I want to present to us in this chapter, and I don't know if I'll get this chapter totally today. But I want to present to us a few quick principles from it. I think what we'll do is I'll just read down through about verse 7. I think that will thrust us in. I may have a few different verses that I'll call your attention to as we go through here. But this is a time when God is dealing with David's life again, and God has him in a place, and he's dealing with David. And I want to bring what the Spirit has showed me. I'm reading out of the NASV. Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and are plundering the threshing floors. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. But David's men said, Behold, we are afraid. We're afraid here in Judah, how much more than if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines. Then David inquired of the Lord once more. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about, we'll go back there. Thus David, I don't have this in my notes, and I want to give it to you right now. Was it David alone that delivered the inhabitants of Keilah? Or was it David and his men? All right. Was it Moses alone that went into the wilderness and received the commandments of God? Or was it Moses and his people? Are you getting my principle? Yeah. It's not a man. I want us to get this. When we say the man, we're saying his ministry. It was David and his men. It was David and his people that did this. Verse 6, Now it came about when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with the ephod in his hand. When it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, look what God, Saul says, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars. So Saul summoned the people of war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, Bring the ephod here. And David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard of certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Now, drop to verse. That's enough. I'll just bring out different verses as we need them. David has been in the cave of Adullam. We talked about that last week, particularly last Sunday night. It's in Adullam where men gather to David. Now remember in Saul's system that David was put over. Remember that? And Jesus says that in the Gentile system, in the system of the Gentiles, and in the systems of the world, what happens is men is put over you. Isn't that what he said? Okay. But it's not so, he says, in my kingdom. For he that is the greatest of all is servant to all. Okay? If you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to be servant. You can't be put over people. People have to gather to you. You have to serve people. People have to be gathered to you. And we looked at that last Sunday night, and we saw that there has to be a gathering of people. There has to be a spiritual unity in this church, in this body. There has to be a spiritual unity of people gathering together. Gathering together. So it's in Adullam that you learn about gathering. You learn to be a leader in Adullam. Adullam is where leaders learn if they are leaders. If nobody gathers to me, I'm not a leader. Right? That's plain and simple, isn't it? That's not profound. That's just the truth. What do leaders do? Lead. If nobody's following, you're not a leader. Adullam is where we learn principles such as honor thy father and thy mother. We talked about that. All right? Now, it's at Adullam in the forest of Herith where we learn the system of Saul is vicious. It was there. It was in this place where Doeg the Edomite went by the command of Saul and killed the priest. Remember that? The system of Saul is a vicious system. Now, it looks pretty. It's got pretty buildings, right? Dress nice. But I want you to know they're vicious. The system of Saul is a vicious system. It ministers with Doegs, and it kills the priest. The system of Saul will kill real priests. But it's at Adullam and the forest of Herith that we learn God's mercy, that it is He who will deal with me and will deal with Doeg. I didn't deal with Doeg. David didn't deal with Doeg. God will deal with Doeg. God will deal with me. That's His mercy. Wrote a newspaper article this past week. It'll be, I think, this week. I think it'll either come out this Wednesday or this Friday or last Friday. I don't know. It may be already come out. I don't know. But it was on the mercies of God. And I took it from Psalm that we looked at last week, looking at the goodness and the mercies of God. So misunderstood. It's so misunderstood. Now, in chapter 23, the first principle that I want to bring out is that David inquired of the Lord. That's in verse 2. Again, he inquired of the Lord in verse 4. And then in verse 9 through 12, he inquires of the Lord through Abiathar the priest, through the ephod, which is the Urim and the Thummim. Now, I'm not going to get into all that stuff. All my principle is that David inquired of the Lord. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that wanted to do all of God's will. And the way he would do this is to inquire of the Lord. The principle is this. The principle is David was a man of prayer. The heart for God will pray and inquire direction. If I'm a man after God's own heart, I'll pray that God directs me. Right? Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Give me direction into my life. David was a man like this. We can be a covey of quail. Listen. We can be a covey of quail going in every direction, everyone going in his or her own direction, or we can have the direction of God through anointed leadership. Did David speak to everybody the direction that they were going to everybody the did gonna say it again? Did God speak to everybody the direction that they were going to go in, or to David? Come on. Talk to me now. I'm talking Bible. Listen, folks. The leadership and the direction of our fellowship and our church has got to come through its leadership. It's got to, or we'll be going like a covey of quail in 100 different directions. And that's exactly what the enemy would like for us to do. The enemy would like for us to take on the whole world. God wants us to have one major enemy and focus our attack on him. God wants us to have one major issue that our church comes against. And it's up to the leadership to bring this into and give us direction from God. Are you with me now? You hear this? It's got to come through a leadership. It can't be a covey of quail going in all the directions, because that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Then the second thing in verse 2, there was the first thing that David inquired of the Lord for was to go to war. You ever go to war without God telling you to go to war? Have you ever been defeated? Did God tell you to go to that war? Now, if you were defeated, God never lose war. Come on. And we've all done that. We've all gone to battle with the enemy and got kicked because it wasn't God's will that we war at that time. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't eventually face that enemy. David inquired, Lord, should we go against the Philistines? He said, yeah, go. But now you go to 2 Samuel, we'll find he inquired again. Lord, should we go to battle against the Philistines? He says, no, not right now. Wait until you hear the wind blowing in the mulberry trees. Remember the story? There's a time to war. There's a time not to war. Did David know the Philistines were out there? Sure. Do we know abortion's out there? Do we know pornography's out there? Do we know that satanic worship is out there? Do we know these enemies are out there? But is it time to war with them yet? Okay? There's a time, and it's the time when we hear the wind and the mulberry trees. It's when God says go to war. They're there. David inquired of the Lord, should we go to war? This time he said, yeah. Later, he'll inquire about the same thing, and God will say no. The principle is this: too often our zeal for God gets ahead of his timing. Before we go to war, we must know it's time to go to war. Is that right? Okay. Then David inquired of the Lord because his people were afraid. They doubted David's ability to hear God. Now, if they really thought that David had heard of the Lord to go to war, would they have been afraid? No doubt, but I don't really believe they would have been afraid if they really thought that David had heard the Lord. You see, fear comes when doubt's there. They didn't believe that David had heard the Lord, or they wouldn't have been afraid to go to war. If you know that God's in it, are you afraid of it? No. You see, your doubt comes when you're not sure that God's in something. Now, there were a couple of reasons, and I've got two major ones. First of all, David was a young man. He was somewhere between the ages of 20 and 25. Folks, I'm young in this. I haven't been doing full-time pastorate for a long time. I'm not a skilled veteran. Do you hear me? And I promise you, after we've been together much longer, you'll really have more faith in what I say I hear from God. You with me? When you have time with me, when you really learn my heart, when you really see what I'm about, then you'll trust me more. And when I say it's time to do something, we'll just do it. But it takes time. The second thing that I put down is David did not rail that he was the anointed one. He just inquired once more. David didn't get mad when his men doubted him. David didn't get upset and say, listen now, God anointed me. He didn't anoint you. He just said, well, Lord, we're not together on this. Are you sure now, Lord, this is what you told me? He inquired once more. David wanted unity in his people. David wanted his people to be together. He waited until there was a unity of the Spirit. Is that not what we have to do from time to time, folk? We have to wait. We have to know that the Spirit's saying it. And in fact, if you're doubting, you probably won't do it. If you doubt I heard the Lord, if you doubt this leadership's heard the Lord, you won't support it. When we were really coming against abortion, when we were waging a war there at that time, when we were really doing it, and if you really thought that we had heard from the Lord concerning abortion, then you supported and you gave. If you doubted it, you didn't. If you really believe that this newspaper that this church supports and that Dr. Cash is behind, if you really believe that it's what it's supposed to be, you'll support it. If you don't, you won't. You'll doubt. You'll be afraid. He waited until there was a unity of the Spirit. They needed to develop trust in David. That takes time. David needed his people. Do you know that? Do you know that David needed his people? Could David go down and defeat the Philistines by himself? No. Can I defeat the spiritual force in this city by myself? No way, man. No way. David needed his people. So if they were not in unity with him, he had to wait. Even though he had heard the word of the Lord, he had to wait for his people. But God is merciful enough and gracious enough that he worked on the people and he got unity there. David waited. He needed to develop trust. David needed his people. But now you've got to understand another principle is that the people needed David. Okay? There has got to be an anointed person sent and set of God that can hear the voice of God for that very purpose, to hear the voice of God. There has to be that dimension. And we don't understand that yet because of the way we've been trained and denominations and so forth. We've been trained all these different ways that we vote them in and we vote them out. We never really believe that God set that person there. We think we did it. Am I right? You know I'm right. We got to come to the conclusion that God did it. That God did it. And you can't pray against me. If you're praying against me, that's witchcraft, folks. God's going to get you. You got to pray for me that God will change me or move me. I know you hear this. But the people needed David and David needed the people. There had to be a corporate need. You have to understand you need me, and I have to understand that I need you. I can't do it by myself, and you can't do it without a leader. You can't do it without a leader that can't hear God. Do you hear me? You see, this is the scripture that the Lord showed me in 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. We were down there, and Dr. Bill was sharing this message, and he says, how would you like it if any member on your body decided that one morning the eye was going to move from its location and its purpose and it was going to get on the back of your neck? And you woke up and your eyeball was on the back of your neck. How would you like that? And your hand all of a sudden had gotten stuck in your eye. And you got up and you waved at yourself out of your eye socket. Or your foot come up here and got in your tongue. And your tongue, you try to walk. Wish we could walk on our tongue sometimes. Some of them long enough we can, I guess. But anyhow, you see, the body has its purposes. Every part of my body has its place and its purpose. Are you right? And everything does what it's designed to do, what it was born to do. My hand was not born to be my eye. My head was not born to be my foot. And we've got to understand that, and that's what I'm saying here. They needed David, but David needed them. You can't defeat what God's called us to defeat by yourself, and neither can I. Now, there will be times when you'll fight the enemies by yourself. It says there the second principle that I want to bring. So David and his men went to Keilah. This is the second principle, but it's still the same thought. It's still the same principle. David and his men went to Keilah. David went to Ramah alone. David went to Nob alone. David went to Gath alone. David went to Adullam alone. There are times you'll be alone, but not this time, not in this dimension of warfare. You can't be alone. You can't bring down the powers and principalities over this city alone. If you could, you would have already done it. There has to be a body that knows what it's supposed to do. I have to know my place in this body. I can't do what you're supposed to do. You can't do what I'm supposed to do. There are times we'll be alone. But now David and his people went to Keilah. They were in one mind. They were in one accord. They had gotten beyond the doubt. They got into trust in David that he could hear from the Lord. And they went on to Keilah. Now I'm going to read this. David fought Goliath alone. Jesus fought the devil alone. We will bring down principalities and powers, though, together. But there will be times when you'll fight alone. There are specific things in your life that you've got to overcome. There are Goliaths in your life that you've got to kill. Right? But you're not going to win this city by yourself. Neither am I. We've got to have a corporate body. We've got to be together, people. We need each other. Ephesians 3:10 says this, "The manifold wisdom of God now be made known through the church." Not through just Delbert. Not through just Richard, right? Not through just Marianne or Monty. It's through the church. The manifold wisdom of God is just not going to come out of me. It's going to come out of the church. And it's not just the church at Lafayette. It's going to be the church universal. It's going to make the manifold wisdom of God. That's why in every city that God raises and plants people that will war with that individual and that principality that is there. He'll make his manifold wisdom known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Whatever ruler and whatever authority is in this place, folks, we will have to go to war with it. If we're a church, he says, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Does the church sleep and sing songs and dance and clap its hands, or does it war? Does it go against the principalities and powers? Does it go against the gates of hell? Yeah. Amen. And if we're not doing that, we're not a church. We may be a fictitious church. We may be a church in Saul's system. We may be a counterfeit, but a church wars. A church comes against powers and principalities. It storms the gates of hell. It doesn't run from gates. It doesn't escape. It overcomes and destroys. I can't take this city or this area by myself. You can't take it by yourself. When it is taken, and it will be taken, when it is taken, it will be by Jesus, our heavenly David, and his people. Amen. Third principle. David moves four times in this chapter. Now, this is the emphasis. As I prepared this morning, this is what the Spirit of God really stirred in me. I don't know if I can relate this to you, sometimes how I feel a stirring about a particular part of a message, but this spoke to me, so I have to believe that it's for somebody here, so I ask you to listen attentively. In verse 4, it says that he moved from the forest of Hereth to Keilah. And then in verses 13 and 14, he moved from Keilah to the wilderness of Ziph. And then in verse 24, he moved from the wilderness of Ziph to the wilderness of Maon. And then in verse 29, he moves from the wilderness of Maon to En-Gedi. David was constantly moving, and as you study the life of David, you'll find out that there were 10 times that he moved in his wilderness wanderings. There were 10 stopovers in his time of rejection. And this time that we're looking at now, the wilderness times of David, speaks of the type of time that Christ Jesus, in the middle of his ministry, was rejected. You see that? And it speaks of your time when you're rejected. I don't know if you know it or not, but if you come to this church, you're pretty much rejected. And this is the time that we're in. David has 10 stopovers in the wilderness. There are times of rejections. There are experiences. Each is a primary principle of what was raised in David's heart. And what it speaks to us about is the moves that God takes us through. These are the sons of God, they that are led by the Spirit of God. Now bear with me, okay? Where did the Spirit lead Jesus after his baptism? Into the wilderness. And who did he lead him in the wilderness to meet? The devil, Satan. And he was there tried and tested in three areas: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Will you be led into the wilderness? Will you be tested and tempted? Man, so was David. But it's in this time that he works vital principles into your life. Vital principles that you must grasp and understand to overcome him. It's in this time, this is the most important time of our relationship with Jesus Christ, is understanding that the Spirit is leading us in the wilderness. But he's leading us. All right. The stopovers that David went to that we've looked at thus far, he went to Nob, and it was at Nob that he lied to the priesthood. It was at Nob that he got Goliath's sword. The principles are, you don't lie. You just don't lie to God. You don't lie to him. You might try, but you're not going to get by with it. And then you can't battle with Goliath's sword. You're not going to fight with the enemy's weaponry. You're going to fight with what God's given you to fight with. That was Nob. That was the principle that we looked at. It Gath. He moved out of his hurt. He moved by vengeance. He went to Gath to go to the Philistines so that he could get back at Saul, who had hurt him. Christians move more out of vengeance than worldly people do. You hurt me. And we move out of our vengeance. And a lot of times we'll associate with the very people that the one who hurt us doesn't want us to associate with, just to hurt them. And that's exactly what David did. Adullam, that's the gathering unto David. That's where David was tested and tried to see if he was a leader. At Mizpah, Moab, that's where he honored his father and his mother. And the forest of Hereth, that's where Doeg, the Edomite, killed all the priesthood. Where David learned about God's mercy. And every these speaks of times in our lives where we learn an aspect about God that we didn't know before. He's moving. David moves four times in this chapter. There's four basic principles in this chapter. Every time David moves, it's another move of God in his life. And you got to understand the scripture that the Lord gave me concerning this. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "But we all are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory." Does God want us to change? Listen to me. If you're in the same place today that you were a year ago, you're not moving in God. If you're doing the same thing, if you've got the same sin, if you're fighting the same battles, if you're warring the same warfare today that you warred one year ago, you're not moving in God. And probably what's happened is Saul's caught up with you. And you've either got a part of his system or he's killed you. You and I go through moves of the Spirit. This is where God raises us and puts principles into our heart. Must move in God. Number one, there's two basic principles that I want to speak about this moving. Number one, you must move in God or Saul. And the way I'm speaking of Saul at this moment is the religious spirit that was on Saul. What kind of spirit did Saul have on him? Evil spirit. Who was it from? God. It's of God. But it was to get the Saul out of David. And must move in God, or Saul, that religious spirit, will catch us. Now listen to me. I have preached church history until I know some of it's come out of you guys' ears. But there's such a principle there. Every one of those moves of God, God was moving, and you could probably tell me as good as I could tell you. But God moved in the Roman Catholic Church. Out of the Roman Catholic Church came Martin Luther, moved justification by faith, came Anabaptist, came the Methodist movement, holiness movement, came all the movements, Pentecostal, all these movements come out. But every one of them would build a tabernacle and stop right there, and Saul would catch them because they wouldn't keep moving. Was God moving? Was David moving? The reason David was moving was so Saul couldn't catch him. Why are we moving? So Saul can't catch us. If we stop right here with our little praise and dance and our worship and all this stuff, if we stay right here, folks, Saul's going to catch us. He'll get either in his system, we'll get hooked up with his system, or either he'll kill us right here. So the first thing we've got to understand is that we are to move from glory to glory as we are conformed to his image. You got to change. You got to move. God's moving. George, you and Agnes, how many moves of God you guys been through? You see what I'm saying? You've been through the faith movement. You've been through the demonic movement. You're now in the kingdom movement. You're always praising. All these things. God's moving, folks. And if you ever stop, Saul will get you. Is that good, Willis? Then the second thing. That's the positive. You must move in God. Our Saul, which is sin, in this aspect, will catch you. If you're still fighting the same sin today you was fighting a year ago, you're not moving. Saul's caught you. If you remain in that sin, if you remain there in that sin and you don't move, God will let Saul kill you. The wages of sin is? But the gift of God is? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Stay there. You'll die. Move. You'll live and you'll rule and you'll reign with him. Where's David headed? Is he headed for the throne? Yes. He's going to rule and He's going to reign. And if you'll keep moving and you won't let Saul catch you, you're going on in God. And you're going to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. You're going to leave sin and be an overcomer, and you'll rule and you'll reign with Him. For He says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, "For he that overcometh shall I let sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne." You move in two dimensions. You move in glory and you move from sin. You move from sin. You know this. I'm just going to say it. The blood of Jesus Christ, John says in 1 John chapter 1, about verse 8, says it washes us from sin. Sin is not washed from you. You are washed from sin. You leave it. It does not have dominion over you anymore, Paul said. You leave it. You move so that it can't get you. You got that. You know that. Must be constantly overcome. The enemy was not able to destroy David because David was always moving in God. Woo! There's the truth there. Fourth principle. This is my last principle. Somebody is deceived. Now, look at this real good. Many voices. Many voices in this chapter. Many voices in the earth today. You'll hear me say something. You'll go home, turn on television, you'll hear them say something else. You'll go to a conference and they'll say something else. This tape will come out and it'll say something. This tape will come out and say something. Many voices. Do you know what the primary purpose of a demon is to do? Deceive. Bring darkness. Deceive. Many voices in this chapter. Now, we read this book and we know, because we can read it, that David was the anointed of God. We know, because this is history, that David was the one who God had appointed. But you've got to understand that it wasn't so easy for these people that were living in this time. It's not so easy sometimes for you to say, well, Delbert is the one God's appointed. It's not easy for you to say that, because it's not written yet. We haven't finished our cup. We haven't drank it yet. We're not to the end of what God's wants us to do. So you could easily hear other voices and say, well, Delbert's not what God has put here. Somebody's deceived in here. Now, I want to go through this. I don't want to really hurry. But we can read the book and we'll find out that it was David. But those around him and those that were living in this time, it wasn't so easy. In verse 3, we've already read that David's men weren't sure. They were afraid. They weren't sure that David was hearing the word of the Lord. Is that what we read? That they were afraid. And in verse 7, it talks about Saul. And read verse 7 with me. Now, David had gone to the land. And when it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand." Now, had God delivered David into his hand? No. Was Saul deceived? Saul says, "I'm king. Hey, God's got to work through me." Saul was deceived. David's men weren't sure. Saul surely wasn't sure. In verse 17, you can verse 12, it talks about the people at Keilah weren't sure. They were going to turn David over. You know that some of the people that you helped the most will one day turn on you? That's what Keilah did. That's the principle of Keilah. In verse 17, Jonathan comes to David. And Jonathan said David was the man of God. But yet Jonathan wouldn't leave Saul's house, which became his house, to come with David. So then, did Jonathan really believe that David was God's man? If he had really believed it, he'd have been there. Jonathan was playing both sides of the fence, folks. He liked it over here in the castle. But he says, "But now, David, I want to make a covenant with you. You see, if you really get where God says you're going to get, I want to be your right-hand man." There's Jonathan's motive. Jonathan wasn't working out of a pure heart. If he'd been working out of a pure heart, he'd have left Saul and went to David. Jonathan didn't really believe that David was the anointed of God. And then verse 19, the Ziphites thought Saul was God's man, because they went and told Saul where David was hiding in Ziph. That speaks of those that are deceived by religion. Do you know there's people in this area that hate us? Do you know there are people that pray against us? Bring them down, Lord! They're right over there. They're right over there across from the First Baptist. Bring them down, Lord! And then the amazing thing was, it seems that David sometimes seemed not to be sure. Do you know that sometimes I'm not sure? David would do funny things, like he'd go back to the Philistines. He'd go with Goliath's sword. And then he would say this, "Touch not God's anointed." Who was God's anointed? Was it Saul or was it David? David. But yet he said, "Touch not God's anointed," speaking of Saul. So David wasn't sure sometimes. I'm not sure sometimes, folks. I just want you to know, I'm being honest. Somebody's deceived. I say things like, "God, if it's really true, and all these prophecies that you've given me, and all these words that sound so glorious, if it's really true, then why aren't certain things happening?" I question the Lord. How do you know? How does one know who is the anointed? I'll give you an answer. Time. Time. They didn't know until David became king. They didn't know until David fulfilled his mission in life. You'll not know if I'm the anointed of God until it's all said and done. Until you can look back at history and see what happened. There are some things you can do. You can look at my heart. You can get close to me. See what makes me tick. You can find out what I'm really about. You can find out if I really do what I say I do. If I really live what I say I preach, if I really live what I preach. Pettit wrote a book, great book, called The Tale of Three Kings. And he says, and I don't know how many times, and in this book he's talking about David, he's talking about Saul, and he's talking about Absalom. In this book he says over and over again, who is David? Who is the anointed of God? And he says this, God knows, but he won't tell. God knows, but he won't tell. The principle is each of us must be where God puts us, or where God plants us. Then we watch and we learn, and Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. We watch and we learn the man's heart while God deals with our heart. Don't just watch my heart. Let God deal with your heart. And if your heart and my heart are being dealt with by the same God, we'll end up at the same place. Right? And if you're truly believing God, and you're right and I'm wrong, if I've done something, God will move me. That's the mercy of God. Is God a merciful God? Yeah. If I'm a Doeg, will he deal with me? Yeah. If I'm a David, will he deal with me? Trust God. I promise you. God is cleaning up his church. I promise you, folks. If it's in me, it's coming out. And you'll see it if I don't deal with it. And you can point your finger and say, I told you so. But until that happens, just watch my heart. And if our hearts are gathered together, we're going to the same place. We're heading in the same direction. Another thing is, you can't follow a man. You got to follow the Lord. You can't follow Delbert. You got to follow the Jesus that's in all of us. He's put me as an apostle, as a prophetic voice, to establish a work that will bring down principalities and powers in this area. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how to do it yet. I just know that's what I'm supposed to do. But you can't follow a man. You must follow the Lord. And if you are, and I am, we will be heading in the same direction. If you're following a man and I'm just a man, I'm not anointed of the Lord, we'll all fall in the ditch together. If I'm the anointed of the Lord, and you've looked at my heart, you've seen my fruit, we're all going to the throne together. David had his mighty men all around him in the throne. If we're following Jesus, I promise you, he's going to have you in the throne around him. Amen? Don't follow me. Follow him. Amen. Amen. And if I've got the Spirit of God in me, and you've got the Spirit of God in you, we're going to the same place. Amen? Amen. We're not all going to be deceived. We're not all going to be deceived. How many want to keep moving with God? Amen. You want to move on? The cloud of glory is still moving, isn't it? It never stopped. It never stopped. It's still here. It's just in the spiritual dimension. The cloud of glory is still moving. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Bless the Lord, and we'll minister over.